Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is good to be Michael Savage. Welcome to The Savage Nation. We have Disco Friday today. Go ahead, please. Staying alive. Staying alive. The world is aflame because of the flame in the White House. Putin, Ukraine, Missouri, Sharpton. The poor little boy who was shot in Missouri. Turns out he wasn't a poor little boy. No. What a world we're in. But I'm not going to talk about that right now. I'm going to talk about this right now. What is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced? Was it lost love, lost person, lost pet, lost car, lost chance, lost business? What is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced in your life? I told a story years ago of a friend of the family, and it was called The Yawn Man Gets Cancer. Another version of it was The Leather Man Gets Cancer, and it was shortly after he had lost his business. Remember that story in one of my books? And it led me to think that as good as political talk radio is, maybe political talk radio is on the way out and self-help is on the way in. And I'm going to tell you something. As you call me at 800-445, I don't even remember the number, I swear. It's 855-400-SAVAGE. I don't remember my number anymore. You remember my number. You know why I say that? Do you know that my show is flooded with callers begging for a spot in line an hour before my show begins and an hour after it's off the air? Did you know that? I don't even recognize how vast my audience is, and I don't recognize how devoted it is. But years ago, there was a man on the radio before Rush. He was a radio shrink before Dr. Laura. His name was David Viscott. And he once had the largest audience in talk radio at the time. He was on KABC in Los Angeles. He was a huge hit. He was a psychiatrist. And you'd hear something like this. On line 11 is Michelle, a 25-year-old former Catholic school girl who once aspired to be a lawyer but became a prostitute with a drinking problem after her stepfather raped her. She had trouble trusting men, she told a late-night talk show host. So the doctor, Viscott, listened to her with the gentleness of a kindly uncle. He probed her pain delicately, and then ultimately he said, his karate chop is coming, he said to her, listen, you'll never get more clear instructions in your life. You must sober up and you must get to work on your ultimate goal in life. He became a star in shrink radio, and he offered short-term therapy to people with long-standing emotional wounds. He was all tough love and no nonsense. He would coddle people, and then he would say, stop feeling sorry for yourself. And as talk radio exploded in the 1980s, he was one of the biggest, if not the biggest. He was a drive-time phenomenon. At his peak in the early 90s, he advised millions on both radio and television. He developed his own greeting card line with messages. He offered individual therapy for $1,500 for two-hour sessions. He supervised four centers staffed by therapists he trained in the quick hit method that he developed. You get the picture. Now, I don't know that I'm going to move away from political radio. I mean, I think political radio is still the king right now, but I'm certainly going to integrate self-help radio on my show because I think it's the subtext of why people love me. I am the uncle they've all missed in their family, and that's why I'm saying to you today on this Friday, we're going to experiment. We're going to do the news. That can include any topic, Missouri, Ukraine, Russia, 855-400-7282, and then there's the news out there. I mean, the news is pretty horrible. It's a reason I'm running into self-help right now. You've got an ISIS flag photo in front of the White House. You've got a Ukrainian military force destroying a Russian convoy, provoking Putin at the behest of Obama and the EU, trying to get Putin to react. They want war. They want to steal the land from Putin. There's no question they want war. You understand what I'm saying to you? Al Gore is suing Al Jazeera. I mean, you talk about justice. Talk about social justice. Al Gore suing Al Jazeera? That's good. the two Al's, from Al Gore to Al Jazeera. Al Gorzira sues Al Gorzira for fraud. I wish we could sue Al Gore for fraud, the global warming fraud. Wouldn't that be great? What would you like to talk about in the Savage Nation? WMAL, Donna, you're the first one up. What's your greatest loss, Donna? Go ahead, please.
Yes, hello, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to say my greatest loss was my dear mother, who died at a very young age. She was misdiagnosed with cancer and suffered greatly towards the end. But what I want to say is she emptied out so many florists because she was so well-loved. People honestly couldn't figure out where to get flowers for her funeral. And she was a very selfless, loving person. So it was profound.
I was outside Robin Williams' house. They're stacked pretty high right now. You've got all the lonely-hearted people coming around who didn't even know him. They think he was a friend of theirs.
Maybe my mother had the same effect. I don't know.
I don't know. Okay, so that's your greatest loss. It sounds like you've gotten over it. WMAL again in Washington, D.C. Bob, what was your greatest loss?
I lost a child.
Tell us about it.
Well, my wife was over 8 months pregnant, and she had a problem, and we lost a son, and she also almost lost her. But, you know.
Did you have other children before that one and other children after, or that was it?
We had two daughters. And,
no, did you just, wait a minute, children, I said. Any children before that lost child?
Yes, I had two daughters.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear that. It's my mistake. So do you still walk around with the sense of an emptiness in you from the lost child that was not born?
There are times, you know, when I think about it.
Well, you just called this show. Obviously, it's a hole in your heart.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a hole in your heart. It doesn't leave.
I hear you, my friend. Thanks for calling. Amazing. I didn't know what I was going to get into here, but okay. You want to do this? I'll do it. I'll be Miss Lonely Hearts. I'll be Miss Lonely Hearts. Or do you want to talk about the militarization of the police? Should we talk about Ferguson, Missouri? Should we talk about Ukraine? Should we talk about migraine? Should we talk about migraines? Should we talk about corn grains? Should we talk about soybeans? Should we talk about... I hear that Soros, did you see this on the Drudge Report? Oh, yeah, old Soros, who put Obama in office along with Hollywood, has sold the market short. Oh, yeah, there's no law against that. You get it going up and you get it going down. He's a smart man. Isn't that the... See, this is what capitalism is at its worst. This man represents everything evil about the world, in my opinion. So he bet against the stock market in a monster trade. A monster trade. Soros Fund Management. It's perfectly legal. He increased the bear call bet on the S&P 500 in a huge way. All you got to do now is pray to God that he loses everything. I didn't say I would. You should pray to God he loses everything for what he's done to this country. That would be fitting. And then he could call a show with his loss. His greatest loss would be that he lost his money. What? Because he's funding the most vile organizations in American history. 1,000 fake journalists to go after Americans who love the country. I see why I don't want to do... Do you see why I don't want to do politics? You see what just happened to me? Do you understand that if I had a meter on my body, a lie detector test, a set of wires on me, what would have just happened? The pressure in my chest would have read off the charts. The cranial pressure would have been near explosive force. So therefore, I'm not going to do it. I'm much better as a therapist than I am as a political commentator. And I'm going to take a chance. I've got to tell you something about talk radio. I've been at it for 20 years. No, a single word could destroy your career. Let's start with that. A single word that's not caught in time and let's say, muted can destroy your radio career. That's well established. But no single show can destroy your career. In other words, if you've been on long enough and the audience is large enough, they'll go where you want to go with them. Like I'm going to do a lot of the emotional pain today. And many of you will tune in. Some of you will tune out. New ones will listen to Michael Savage and say, who is this guy? I never heard of him. I like his voice. What's he talking about? On the other hand, very few people are willing to take a chance on a new circus. They're comfortable in their circus. They make a good living in their circus. They don't want to leave the tent that they're in, and I don't blame them. I, on the other hand, am a risk taker. And I know that the country right now is so filled with pain. This country has people in such agony and they don't know where to go with it. And I feel that I can fill a role that is not being filled at this time with the great power I have in all the major stations I have, mainly in drive time on the East Coast, and of course it's different times around the country. And so I'll say again, it's Disco Friday, formerly known as Rock and Roll Friday, and I'm asking you, what is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced? Was it lost love, lost person, lost pet, lost car, lost chance, lost business? This is not your last chance, but the phone number is worthless to you right now. Oh, some good news. We have raised over $7,000. You have sent over $7,000 for Joe to the Savage Legal Defense Fund, which I'm going to keep up for Joe until the end of today. And I'm going to match the money that's donated with my own money. And we're going to send that check to Joe sometime in the next week, I would say. And so we may be able to save a single man. And he who saves a single man, it's though he saved the entire world. This is Maimonides Savage. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com.
Hot Talk 560 KSFO. KSFO.
I was about 11 years old sitting in an empty movie theater when this song came out. I can't believe, I've always been a loner. I got to tell you, looking back, you know, I wound up where I'm supposed to be. Why was I in a movie theater alone watching Elvis Presley in Heartbreak Hotel? I wasn't crying in a napkin or anything, but wow, that's really weird for an 11-year-old kid to sit in a movie theater on Friday afternoon instead of playing ball or something. But there I was. You want to talk about your greatest emotional pain, and maybe I can help you with your loss. I might be more interesting and more productive. What was it? Is it? Would you rather me go back to, hey, Mike, cut out that touchy-feely crap. Go back to that politics stuff. Bash those Dems. Come on, Mike, get back. Stop that touchy-feely stuff. We're men. We can handle our You know, I know guys who are successful, an older man, a younger man. They're very, very successful, all on their own, built businesses. Both of them are depressed, deeply depressed because of what Obama's done to America. These are men who are visionaries. They're visionaries. They built huge businesses because of their ability to be visionaries. They see doom ahead because of what Obama and his minions are doing to this country. They don't see a shiny sunny upland waiting for this country. They don't see a sunny upland of tomorrow. They see storm clouds ahead because of what this creature has done to this country and what he's continuing to do. And he's only gotten warmed up. And they don't know why he's not being stopped. That's what they all say to me. Where the hell are the Republicans? Why are they so useless and so timid? We're supposed to be a two-party system. They say, why doesn't the other party put their foot down and say, that's the end of the road. You're finished. We're doing this. We're doing that. Forget about it. You're not legalizing 30 million people like your God. Screw you. You don't have that power. No, but they're not doing it. No. John Boehner's probably picking out the drapes for his retirement condo in Jacksonville or wherever. Picking out the drapes. So they don't know what to do. So people are saying, the heck with, I can't take politics anymore. What good is it? You know, all we do is bellyache and nothing gets changed, so why should I listen to this anymore? You think I don't feel this? You think I don't feel it? That's why I'm doing it. You know, let me tell you something. That show that I did the other day where we helped that one guy, Joe, you helped him, I'm going to help him, the show itself helped him, maybe helped a lot of other people get through things. In many ways, it was a change of life for me, because you look back on your life and say, what good did I really do? Have I done any real good? Well, maybe if we save Joe from suicide, I have saved one life and maybe you've saved that one. I don't know. You know, one life is a very important thing to save. The fireman who saves one life, the highway patrolman who goes on the Golden Gate Bridge and talks some moron off the edge from jumping, although they're fed up with them anyway. They do that for a living. Every CHP officer knows that. All of the suicide people. Maybe they have a sense of usefulness. But look at what goes on in this country. A big monstrous thug allegedly holds up a little convenience store, beats up the Indian clerk, shoves him around, steals the cigars. He calls 911. The cop goes out to arrest this guy. And according to the police, who I believe not the thug's friend in Missouri, let me put it to you this way. I'll believe the cops before I'll believe the thug in the street. Okay? That those are my priorities. Because if I get in trouble, I don't dial 1-800-THUG. I get in trouble, I dial 911, and I hope a cop with a gun comes out to protect me. Not a thug with a gun! I don't need some gangbanger coming around with an AK to save me. So I'll believe the cops, not the thug's friend. There was a scuffle in the police car. He beat up the officer. Did you see pictures yet of the officer's face? Al Sharpton, you should be ashamed of yourself, you little worm, you. You always were a rat with from Freddy's Fashion Mart on. You should have been thrown into the clink for what you've done to this country. You and your racketeers, your civil rights racketeers. So there they are, stirring up the crowds, burning the city down. But you haven't seen a picture yet of the officer's face that was beaten in by the poor boy. The poor little child. I love they show a picture of him when he was 10 years old. It's a Trayvon Martin repeat. There was a picture of Trayvon as a 9-year-old kid. Not the looming large man who almost killed whatever his name was, Zimmerman, I think. It's a repeat all over again. So if you want your cities to burn, baby, burn, you just keep listening to MSNBC and CNN. You put your stock in Wolf Blitzer and MSNBC, and you'll have a cinder for a store.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
It is the Savage Nation. And we're talking about politics. We're talking about emotional loss. And I've asked you what's the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced, and we're getting tremendously interesting callers. Here's a little politics mixed in. You may remember this story. It was a minor quick flash across the universe of politics. There was a so-called feminist studies professor at the so-called University of California, Santa Barbara, who attacked a teenager spreading a pro-life message. Teenager was marching against abortion, and the professor, so-called, attacked her, beat up the girl, ripped her sign down. Now, of course, today a professor has very little meaning unless it's in a real science. Today they have departments of that you can't even believe. Take a guess what her defense is. You're not going to believe it. It was her legacy of slavery that made her attack the abortion pro-choice person. Supporters of Mirelle Miller Young, the porno professor, cite the, quote, cultural legacy of slavery to explain why the feminist studies professor at UC Santa Barbara attacked a teenager spreading a pro-life message on campus. See, it was slavery, even though she was never a slave. But she is an associate professor in pornography and sex work. And so her defense is that it's the legacy of slavery that had her lash out at the woman who was marching against the abortion. And she's got lawyers now with the Friends Service Committee on her side, too. They're already involved. The Quakers are already on her side. Now she appears smiling in front of the crowd, and one of her defenders says, if she appears to be smiling, she is wearing the mask. That is, she is hiding her actual state through a strategy of self-presentation that is a cultural legacy of slavery. This is what goes on in your universities today. This is why the children are brainwashed. This is why we have Obama as a president, because you've bought this lock, stock, and barrel, this rubbish. And that's why I'm saying there's only so much any of you can take of this. That's what is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced? Is a topic I can deal with. I can't deal with the lies coming out of the universities or out of the media anymore. I cannot. And by the way, talking of the media, I told you the Robin Williams story this week and all of that. Well, let me give you a little follow-up. The wonderful individuals in the media who flooded the street that Robin Williams lived on and died on were so vile that one of them drove over a transmitter box on a sidewalk and crushed phone service to the entire neighborhood now for 3 days. And then went on his merry way, probably sped off to, I would think, Missouri. He's probably on his way down to Missouri to see if he can stir up a little hatred down there under the name of liberalism. Oh, yeah, the truck crushed a transmitter box, according to Comcast. People don't have phones in the neighborhood. That's an example of your friends in the media. 855-407-282. Don't call it. We've been jammed for an hour before I started today. Should I offer individual therapy? I'm wondering about that. Like a 900 number? I'll bet you people would like that. It's not that I want the money. Maybe I could help people. I could donate most of the money for all I care. Individual therapy for a phoner. Could I take it? I don't know. Would I go under from it? I don't even know if I could take it. I might be better off watching bad movies and walking the dog and wondering about the universe and dealing with my angst and my issues of getting older. I don't know. It might be more interesting than talking to people about their problems. What is your greatest emotional pain that you've ever experienced? I really want to know that. But before we take, let me take a call that I have a special treat for you. I'll take a call, okay? And this is nothing to joke about. Nothing to joke about. Remember that other people's pain may entertain you, but it's real pain. It's walking around with a hole and a pain, you know what I'm saying, if you felt it. So let's go to Marty in Florida on WBOB. Welcome to the Savage Nation, Marty.
Pleasure to talk to you. My greatest pain was, first of all, parenthetical note, I got appointed to the police in 1970. My nephew, my first nephew, Bruce Wayne Dunn, was born in 1970. And in 1982, his father had a gun lying around in West Palm Beach, Florida, because mom keeps it in the night table. He was emulating her. And what he did was, my nephew was playing Russian roulette. He used to go in and show the kids his father's guns. And my first nephew killed himself, shot himself in the head, playing with his father's gun.
Oh, my God. The whole family was wrecked from that, I'll bet.
Yeah, but the point is, I would have had a 44-year-old nephew. I was a cop. I saw my sister in the hospital when she was giving birth to the kid, 1970. And then 1982, we were in New York. We got a call from Florida saying, Bruce, this was his name, Bruce Wayne Dunn. Something happened.
Marty, what did this horrible accident do to the boy's father and mother?
Truthfully, I don't know if it really did anything to them because they don't seem to have changed. But it pretty much messed up the family because, like I said, I'm missing that nephew who I loved, who did things with me. He was a little mischievous, but he was a good kid. And
no, I had an uncle I liked. Actually, I liked all my uncles. I don't know if they liked me, but I liked them. Now that I think about it. It's nice. Kids need an uncle. They really do. Hey, thanks for that one, man. I can't say thanks. I mean, it's a silly thing to say in a way. But there's an argument for gun control now. Now you're going to get the gun controllers jumping all over that on the Twitter. They'll Twitter out a gun control argument. Everyone's looking for an opportunity to stab the other person in the political heart. I have a very big, I wouldn't say it's a treat. Let me take a caller. I don't think I'm ready for this. Okay, let's go up the coast now from Florida. We're going to travel mentally. Travel with me mentally. We're going up the coast to New York City to WABC. Michelle, you're calling from New York City. What's the greatest loss you've ever had?
Sadly, it is my son's father taking his own life 6 years ago. And
Your son's father, meaning your ex-husband or your ex-boyfriend?
Yes. And he wasn't in his life. He was bipolar. And he hung himself like Robin Williams.
Ooh.
And it's very sad. And my son now is potentially bipolar because genetically.
Michelle,
sadly,
what is bipolar? That's a new phrase for something that I think we used to call manic depressive in my day. And
yeah.
I think prior to my day was called moody. Sure. Now it has a medical attachment so they can sell a drug to a moody person. What is bipolar? What does it mean? What does bipolar mean? It used to be a person who had mood swings. Now all of a sudden it's a medical term. What is bipolar?
It's when you have extreme highs and extreme lows and there's really nothing.
You mean like most entertainers and most people with emotions, they have high highs and lows? You know, thank you. I have to talk about this. The new medical terminology for everything, bipolar. That's an excuse now for anything. I threw hot coffee in her face because I'm bipolar. Whoops. I cursed in front of a four-year-old because I have whatever that's called, that one. I can't control my mouth. They have another name for that one. Everything has a name attached to it. It's like an excuse. I don't understand the world. I think this the medical terminology for horrible behavior is not getting us where we need to go as a society. I explained to somebody on the phone last night who called me, by the way, because of my show, someone I know, who said, and it's a person I never heard the word come out of his mouth, saying, you think I'm not depressed? This whole Robin Williams thing and this whole thing of me doing the show has made a lot of people think about their own depression, by the way. This is an interesting, it's a very interesting byproduct of this sad story. And I think it's actually healthy in the long run for people to open their emotions up like this. So this individual said to me, you think I'm not depressed? Here's a person who has everything. Says, you think I'm not depressed? And up, I never heard it come from his mouth, ever. So I said to this individual, wait a minute, hold on. You mean you go up and you go down? I said, let me explain something to you, because I've said this to my audience for years. There are multiple tides each day. There are four tides each day, two highs and two lows. People don't even know this who don't live near the water or are not boaters or swimmers or surfers. There are four tides each day, two low tides and two high tides. So what does it have to do with us? We are human beings. As a human being, we're connected to the earth. We're connected to the earth's energies. We're connected to the phases of the moon. You may not believe it, and you may not want to accept it. You may want to accept that you want to think that you're in charge and in control of all your emotions all day long. There are some people who are in more control of their emotions than others, but I'm trying to tell you something else. There are fluctuations within our emotional self, highs and lows, up and down, and you have to ride with these, and you have to expect them. The medical establishment has hoodwinked you into believing that if you're a normal person, you have only one emotion all day long, a flat line. You look like Mr. Roberts all day long, a constant smile and nothing bothers you and, oh, yeah, I'm fine. Well, it's not true because people go up and they go down. That's not a medical condition. It's the human condition. Now, I don't know, Neil, do I have time to start the story now or not, Ann? Okay, so now let me segue to this. Years ago, I told a story of a family friend who lost his business, and what happened to him was this. Listen to this one. The story I'm going to tell you occurred when I was a young man, first a kid and then a young man. And it was about a man who grew up as one of my father's best friends in a very poor neighborhood in New York City. They were immigrants together. Their parents came over. They came over, I think, maybe on the same boat, or they met each other in the slums of New York. And they both had a very tough life, and they worked their way up little by little, as the immigrants have to do and as they struggle in the society. And this man went into a business that took off at a certain point like a rocket. He hit a fad in a certain business, and he started to make a great deal of money, and he moved way beyond our family. While we lived in an attached house in Queens, New York, an attached brick house, he had the money to move his family to a detached house. Remember how important that distinction was in those days. It's like the Buick LeSabre as opposed to the Buick Roadmaster. Well, God forbid you a Rockefeller, you bought a Cadillac, if you can imagine. That's how people used to grade themselves in those days, by their status, cars and houses. I don't suppose it's much different today. It just isn't as easy to figure out in some regard, not on the road anyway. Anyway, so he moved to this detached house in Roslyn, New York. And it was a beautiful house. It had its own garden all around it. We only had a little strip of grass in the backyard and a little teeny one in the front. And the carpet was wall to wall, and it was pink. And he was a big cigar smoker. And we go over and visit, and I had a very good time. He would gloat, you know, with the cigar and lord it over my father. And we'd leave. My father never said anything against him. But, you know, I could see in his eyes that he was he was a little, let's say lost that little battle at that time. You know how men are. I mean, men are competitive. Even if they love their friend, if their friend does better than them, there's a degree of envy in every human being. It's just one of the cardinal sins. As years went on, the man's business continued to thrive. And then I left home. I moved away from New York City. I went and did my thing, collecting plants, working for my graduate degrees. Thousands of miles away. I was living 6,000 miles away, then 9,000 miles away in the Fiji Islands. And lo and behold, on one of my trips back to New York when I was already a father myself, I had heard that this man's business had collapsed entirely. The fad that he had rode like a wave had died. Women were no longer buying that particular product. And the man who had a chain of successful wholesale stores lost everything. He lost everything, and it was so fast that he wound up living where he started, on the Lower East Side of New York, in a poor relative's apartment with his wife and the relative's family back where he started in a one-room apartment. And that's where I come in. I come back from one of my trips to the Fiji Islands. I'm a young man in my, I don't know how old I must have been. I don't remember, 25, 30. I don't remember what age I was already anymore. And there he was sitting in my father's house. And I loved this man. I loved him like you know, another father. I loved all my father's friends. And you know how it is when you're a kid in a very close-knit community. You tend to love the people like they're your own. You know, we all grew up so closely together. There was never a bad word between him and my father. Man, he's sitting there shrunken up in the chair in my living room where he had lost everything. And he looks up at me, still smoking a cigar. And he was shrunken in the chair. And he looks up at me in his eyes and he says, Michael, look what happened to me. Look what happened to me. And his eyes were like wandering left and right. He didn't understand what happened to him. And he said, I'd rather I have cancer than what God did to me. And lo and behold, I soon left New York. I went back to do what I did, which is collecting plants. And I heard that 2 years later he died from one of the most rapidly invasive forms of brain cancer. Be careful what you say. God hears the truth, but waits.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Oh, I don't like this. Turn it off. It's horrible music. I'm not going to do Disco Friday. There's only one disco song I can even tolerate, Staying Alive. Could you play it for 10 seconds for so I can hear? My mind doesn't even work. It was so bad that my head shut down. We're talking about what is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced today. Is it lost love, lost person, lost pet, lost car, lost chance, lost business? All aboard. Bobby on WABC, what's your greatest loss? Go ahead, please.
Thanks for taking my call, Mike. Mike, my greatest loss, even though it was self-inflicted, happened about 30 years ago. I found out I was HIV positive.
Wait, Bobby, how long ago?
30.
30?
I found out around 83.
Oh, that was really at the beginning of the whole AIDS epidemic.
A friend of mine.
But well, you're living 30 years with HIV. What are you taking, medication?
I take my HIV medication, but what...
Well, how'd you get it, from sex or needles?
Needles. I was hanging around the Lower East Side when the Lower East Side, before every other shop became a restaurant, and I worked...
You should have gone and had a corned beef sandwich instead of shooting up. You would have felt just as good, and you wouldn't have gotten the disease.
I worked for a lot of Jewish people on...
I'm saying a fat corned beef sandwich... With mustard and French fries, okay, but there was no risk in that. It killed half the men on the Lower East Side, but whatever.
Yeah, but the point...
I'm sorry to hear it. I don't mean to be, you know, flippant with a thing like this. You're still living. That's the good news. 1983, that was the beginning of the AIDS epidemic. I was working in a men's health clinic, a gay men's health clinic. You don't know the story. I was a straight doctor in a gay men's health clinic in San Francisco. Did you know that story? You don't know that story. I'll tell it to you.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE. Savage. Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
It is The Savage Nation. We're living in a sick world. It's getting sicker by the day. There's a pregnant woman walking around in New York who was hit in the back of the head by one of those... What's that game that some of the psychos are playing? Knockout game? Can you believe the world you're living in your lifetime? Would you believe it? There's a picture of it, too. The pregnant woman, sucker punched for no reason by a guy walking by. She says, I was just walking and somebody slapped me in the face. He pushed me and I fell down. I think there's a picture of the bad guy, but I don't think Al Sharpton will be out on the lookout for him. The woman is of apparent Indian descent, by the way. Pregnant. Can you imagine a man smacking a pregnant woman in the street for fun? That's the world we're living in. It's a sick world. And it's getting sicker by the day. It's not getting healthier. Who can you blame for this? Well, okay, you know where my mind's going. Why is there so much hatred in America today? Why is there so much division in America today? Why is there so much anger in America today? I think you know where I'm coming from and where I'm going, so I don't even have to fill in the blanks. You fill them in. You do the John Nagy on it. You get out the watercolors and paint your picture. So I'm asking you today, what is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced? Was it lost love, lost person, lost this, or lost business? And how can I help you with your loss? Why? Because I tell you the truth, there's a limit to how much anyone can listen to shows about politics, number one. And I know why. It's not that we don't want to know what the what Frankenstein is doing in the White House. We do. But there are so many outlets for what Frankenstein is doing in the White House that by the time I come on the radio, you've heard it already, or you read it on the internet in 2 seconds. I mean, when I get up before I even have a coffee, after I take care of my bodily functions, I go to the internet. I'm addicted. I wish to God there was the internet when I was younger. My whole life would have been different. If there had been Viagra and the internet when I was a younger man, my whole life would have been. No, you got to understand, people put down the internet, they say, it's not, and then they put down Viagra, and they put down this. The truth is that many of these things have greatly enhanced human life. The internet, for me, as a very curious man, would have been one of the greatest blessings when I was in my 30s. Could you imagine the amount of time I spent going to libraries when I could just have walked into my living room in my pajamas to get the information I wanted? But the years I spent in the UC Med Center library going through the scientific journals, looking up Medline, it was like going into a catacomb, and there were specialists who would help you called librarians in the ancient days. Would you believe there was an ancient time in America when there was a specialty called librarian who helped you in a library? That's right, boys and girls. That was in the era when pens existed. Apparently, there's only one individual left on Earth who still needs a pen, and he acts like a dictator with it. So I love the internet, and the fact of the matter is I think it's a great savior for people with curious minds. It's not the enemy of our society. It's actually a salvation for many people. But we're talking about something else, which is the emotional void that most of us live in. We have nowhere to go with it. I mean, I don't know where people go with their emotions. They hide them. You pay to have someone listen to your troubles. All right, that's valid. That's a nice way to get rid of your emotional pain, is you pay someone. But I think that there's a role in the American media for dealing with this that I don't think is being done today. We had, for years, Dr. Laura was on the air. I don't know where she went. She was very good at it. And before her, there was a psychiatrist named David Viscott, who was tough on people on the radio. He was number one. He was pre-Rush down in L.A. And he had millions of listeners, they say, a week. And an hour before his radio show began, the station switchboard would be flooded with callers begging for a spot in line. Guess what? I have millions of listeners a week, and my guys tell me that an hour before I go on the air, the lines are flooded. And for hours after I'm off, the lines are still lit. So it's not like I don't understand America, I do. And I do understand your frustrations with the political system, which are mine. But I can only do so. What can I do talking about it? Well, what can we do day and night and night and day and day and night and night and day if you have a criminal gang running a country, as we do? There's no difference between the Democrat Party of today, in my opinion, and a criminal syndicate. They operate like a criminal syndicate. Look at them before. Take a look at them when they're finally called on the carpet with the IRS. They burn their emails, they crash the hard drives, and they laugh in your face. Albert Anastasia himself, one of the crime titans of all time, would not have gotten away with what Lois Lerner and a gang is doing at the IRS. The head of La Cosa Nostra couldn't get away with what these gangsters are getting away with. Do you understand that? In the days of the Valachi papers, going back in my time, La Cosa Nostra wouldn't dare do what these bureaucrats are doing to this country. So that's why I say to you, what's the good of talking about it? If we don't have a government to protect us from the government, if we don't have an opposition party to protect us from this criminal gang called Democrats, if we don't have a press to protect us from this criminal gang called the Democrats, what am I supposed to do for you? Tell me, talk about it over and over again till you heard it all. It's not that people don't want to hear it. They do, but they get it quickly on the internet. So when I come on the radio, I have to do something beyond that. Otherwise, I'm going to lose interest in the show, and it's just going to become a rote show. You know, when a political subject comes up that I think I should talk about, I will. But I'm going to try and do other stuff as well, which I'm doing today. I'm taking a chance on August 15th, mark it down, 2014. I'm asking you, what is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced? Now you say, well, why are you doing it? I don't know why I'm doing it. How do you like that? I don't have a why. I don't have an answer. All I have is the question. That's all. I have no answers for why I'm doing it. How's that? I'm a stranger in paradise. I'm opening a new chapter in my radio life. We'll see where it goes. Maybe I'm making the biggest mistake of my radio career. Maybe I'm opening up a new chapter in my radio career. I really don't know. That's called taking a chance. See, what I'm getting at is, like, I'm taking a chance with you. And I don't know whether you like it or you don't like it. I have no way to know that. And I'll just take a chance and go with my emotions, as I've done for my emotional decisions are as important as my intellectual decisions. They always have been in my life. I've used all sorts of methodology in my life to make decisions. Some of the decisions I made were good and some were bad. Actually, almost every decision I ever made was good. I don't think I've ever made a wrong decision in my life. I never think about it. What decisions did I make that I would make? I'm thinking back to myself. I'm doing an open book on you today. What decisions did I make in my life that I would have made differently? I don't have an answer. I don't know. I've never thought about it. I rarely look back and say, I should have done this, I should have done that. I've had regrets. It's a little different. I once complained to my son that I'm sorry I wasted all those years in higher education. I said, look at what I did. I spent all those years getting a master's degree, publishing a thesis, then getting another master's degree, publishing a thesis. They were first-rate platinum master's degrees, not bought in a Cracker Jack box. Then I got a great PhD. I said, I wasted those years going to college. He said, no, you didn't. I said, what do you mean, no, I didn't? I should have bought real estate in Harlem in 1980 instead of going back for a PhD. He said, no, you shouldn't have. Then you'd just be another rich guy. He said, all you'd be is another rich guy who doesn't know what to do with himself. He said, don't you realize that all of your striving, all of your searching, all of your education made you who you are today and led to your career in radio? In that sense, as I've said before, our children, if we're really blessed with good children, they are our leaders, not just our followers. There's a time, of course, they follow us, but at a certain point, a good child will lead the way. Do you know that? I remember dedicating a book once to my son, and I said, to blank, who both follows and leads the way. When he was a little boy, 5 years old, I knew he'd be a leader. And he's led me. And here I am. So I'm asking you, what is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced? I don't know what mine is. I really don't. I don't have great emotional pain. And now I have to think about this question myself. I'm asking you to tell me. You want me to tell you? Because I don't know what it is. I don't know. I lost a brother. I lost a father, I lost a mother, and that's about it. What should I say? That's part of life. What are you supposed to do? I'm not walking around with a hole in my heart over it. When I was young, there were girls I wanted that didn't want me, so that was pain. What are you going to do with that? That's part of life. You know, if you don't take a risk, you're not going to gain anything. You're going to sit at home and then not take a chance? I can remember to this day those feelings. I was 17 years old. So what? It's all part of growing up. What are you supposed to do? Go to a therapist over it? I don't have an answer for you on those things, but what are the real big losses? What are the real great emotional pains you've ever experienced? I don't mean the trivial ones. Like the woman called in the last hour, her great pain was that she was diagnosed with HIV in the 1980s. That's a loss. That's an emotional pain, and she blamed herself for using needles. She didn't say someone did it to her. So I'll take your calls on this if you'd like, or shall I go on and talk about ISIS and icicles and ice cream and popsicles? What do you want me to talk about? ISIS. I love they give themselves a new name. How do they come up with these names? Who in the media call these Islamo-fascist Nazis ISIS? How'd they come up with that? How about Islamic Nazi, Islamic fascist, which I defined 20 years ago? Why don't you call them what they are? They're cutting people's heads off, burying people alive, raping people lest they convert to Islam. What's with the ISIS, which has a nice ring to it? Oh, ISIS. I see. Who are they? Oh, they just have a different perspective on religion. They have a little, they're quite tough, those fellows. They have a different perspective on life. Just a different social system, the liberals would say. Really? So Hitler had a different social view than you did? You would have been as kind to Hitler as you are to ISIS? Are you kidding me? If the whole world doesn't wake up, you may as well go to Walmart and buy a prayer rug. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. Scorched earth policy of the American left. They like to burn the whole country down, like Ferguson, Missouri. Bring it all down, man. They'll rebuild it in their image. You know what their image is, don't you? Well, they don't. Maybe you do. Look what we have with this ultra-liberal president. When you think about this, take a look at this country today under this ultra-liberal president, if you want to call him that. Ultra-liberal president. Take a look at the country today. Why are race relations worse under Obama instead of better? I'll let you figure that one out while we talk about what is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced. My emotional pain is based upon the fact that we have the worst president in American history and nobody will remove him from office. My emotional pain is waking up every day and realizing things have gotten so bad that they're going to get worse because there's no opposition party. My emotional pain is that after 20 years of work and trying to be the Paul Revere of American politics on the radio and through my books, the worst possibility has occurred at this, like a perfect storm. Just as the press died and just as the electronic media devolved into an entertainment media, along came the most divisive, hateful man in history to run the country. And he's such a good salesman, you don't even know that that's what he is. Acting like a king, turning one race against another, wrecking the economy, telling his minions to crush hard drives. Yeah, that's my great emotional pain. And I can't fix it because there's no opposition party, there's no opposition press, and there's no judiciary to rein him in. So that's why I'm moving into this other area of talk radio right now. 855-400-7282 is the phone number. Let's take the calls. Drew on the Internet, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Hey, Dr. Savage. What age were you when you realized you had lost your youth? Was there a particular time in your life when you realized?
I haven't lost my youth. I feel younger today than I did at 30.
That's great.
No, I'm not. Look, I'm going to tell you something. You have to take it on the emis. It's on the reality here. I don't feel older. I felt old at 28 and 30. I felt older at 35 than I do now. I didn't lose my youth. I know guys 30 who have given up already. I knew guys in their 20s who gave up, by the way. How old a guy are you?
I'm 46 years old.
Do you feel you've lost your youth?
No, I don't. I have a great life. I spend a lot of time playing music, which makes me very happy.
That's
and
what I'm saying. I have radio, which to me is my whole life. In many ways, I have a family, but truthfully, the radio is like my church. It's like my entire life. I give it my heart and soul, and it keeps me alive.
Well, it does a lot for
me. It's not the only thing. Don't get me wrong. I have joy from other aspects of my life, which I don't have to spell out. But the fact of the matter is, the radio is a central piece of my life. It keeps me young. It keeps me alert. It keeps me alive. I don't feel as though I've ever lost my youth. I act much younger. I feel much younger. I perform much younger.
Right, but it's still because you have a passion is what it is, and that's what keeps you young, I think, young at heart.
I don't know. Sometimes my passions drive me insane, but what can I do? I'd rather have them than walk around like a Republican.
Very
No, when I see, here's the funny part. If I were young and you said Republican, what I thought of was a guy with check pants who belonged to a country club who drank disgusting alcoholic drinks. Somebody I would want nothing to do with, someone I laughed at. As I got older, it turned out to be true. But on the other hand, if you said to me, Democrat, oh, they're wild and they're free, really? How's that worked out? See, that's the conundrum we're in. In other words, you wouldn't think you could have a good time with Republicans, and you'd probably be right. They're horrible people. But on the other hand, they know how to run a country better than the wonderful, fun-loving Democrats out there who know nothing about running a nation, a state, a county, or a town. Nothing. All they know how to do is tax and spend. And turn one race against another to stay where they are. So go figure that one out. You see what I'm saying? See the conundrum we're in? That's a terrible wine, by the way. They put it out for a while, conundrum. I don't know, does anyone drink that stuff anymore? I tried those wines, the California, the names they come up with, Conundrum. It was a conundrum to me. I got a $14 bottle of Italian Red that was better than the Conundrum. No, I don't mean to knock a brand. I just didn't like it. The California red wines, I'm shifting to wine for a minute. I don't drink wine anymore. It gives me a migraine. There was years I lived on white wine. Would you believe this? A day didn't go by, I guzzled it. Half a bottle, whatever, for lunch, dinner. No, usually it was dinner. Sauvignon Blanc. I drank a certain brand every night. I can't touch this stuff. I hate wine. I get a migraine from it. No matter which, I don't care where it's from. I can't drink it. That's one of my great emotional pains, is that I can't drink wine. I can't find that easy release anymore. Beer bloats you, makes you fat.
You give me a Heineken.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
Is this the loneliest society on earth? I'm thinking about it. I don't know. I mean, turn it off. I am a cultural anthropologist in one of my incarnations. One of my master's degrees was in anthropology. I spent many years studying societies, primitive societies at that. Social anthropology was the field. And you look at primitive society at the time. I mean, how many primitive societies were left? Quite a few. Today, fewer. And you see villages and integrated cultures living in a small village and how unlonely the people are. They're all part of one larger social organization. And I don't think loneliness or ennui entered their lives in those straw huts that I lived in those days in the Fiji Islands. And I look around in America today. We all live in our little worlds, right? You may have a neighbor, but really, do you know that neighbor? Look at Robin Williams. You have a house. You have the conveniences. It's been said before. Maybe it's a trivial statement for me to make all over again. You can live in an apartment building. Do you know people two doors down? So we're all alone, locked up in our little boxes, on our computers, in front of our televisions, listening to the radio. Are we the loneliest society on earth? I don't know. I don't have an answer. Do I know of a more lonely society? What, Sweden? Does Sweden still have a higher suicide rate? Why does Seattle have the highest suicide rate in America? At least it did the last I checked. They said it's the rain. Could be the people who move there are predisposed to that kind of, you know, light life or that end of a life. Is it still true that Seattle? And amongst the professionals, why are the psychiatrists the loneliest and most heartbroken and mind broken of all? I don't know. Is that why they go into psychiatry? Because they have a something broken inside of them that they're trying to fix in others, first by fixing themselves, studying the pathology of human minds, and in so doing, hoping to heal themselves, and they can't? I don't know. I don't have an answer to these questions. But I'm asking you, what is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced? I don't even know in my own life what it might be. I really don't know. I'm trying to think it through. I bury a lot, and I just learn to live without worrying about it. I have enough trouble in my life. I have to worry about that. I have to worry about my daily existence. To get from A to B, which is from the morning until television at night, is a long day's journey into night. From the time I open my eyes until I close and watching a bad movie, I mean, it's a long day. I have to think about my radio show. My dreams have been very good lately, by the way, if I must admit it. After that whole thing with the suicide, my dreams have gotten... What is that about? What did I, like, purge myself with that show? I've had nothing but pleasant dreams. Remember I told you the other night I dreamed in French that I was in Paris studying biochemistry? Where'd that come from? How did that happen? Wait, if I tell you last night's dream, you'll laugh. I swear to God, now that I'm talking about it, this one is out of the blue. I dreamed again. I'm in North Beach, San Francisco, the Italian neighborhood, which I love so much. I haven't gone in weeks. And I'm in one of my favorite Italian restaurants, which no longer exists, by the way. And the women who used to serve there, the older Italian women who were no longer there, I always dream that I'm walking up a hill and that there's a myriad of Italian restaurants for me to choose from. Little homey family Italian restaurants. And I pick one. I walk in. And I order one of the dishes I like. In this case, it was, I don't know, a ravioli or something. And I remember splotching my shirt again, because I'm the worst eater on the planet. I need to wear a biohazard suit when I eat. No matter what I do, if I wear a bib when I'm eating, I don't think I got through the meal, and I look at that, the bib is a mess, disgusting. I take it off, bingo, I look at the sleeve, the sleeve is shot. I need a whole suit to eat because I eat with gusto. I don't look around. I mean, there's no one at the table. You put a meal in front of me that I like, forget about it. It's devoured. Last night I dreamed I went into one of those Italian restaurants, which I'm going to do either tonight or tomorrow, and I got gravy all over one of my favorite suits. How do I dream about gravy on a suit sleeve? What is that? So just shows you that emotionally I'm healthy again after the suicide show. It purged me. Maybe that's what it is, because I did that show. I feel cleansed inside. So I'm going to do more of them. What is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced? Maybe by doing this, I may turn myself into a happy man yet. It could be that if I do enough of these shows, I'll wind up a happy man in my older age. This is unbelievable. What if my dreams get good and I have no more problems? This is awful. This is awful. This could be the salvation for me, is dealing with other people's pain. It could be a reverse of psychiatry, where a doctor finally retires, he can't take it anymore. He says, I had enough of listening to people's troubles. The hell with them all. I don't want to do it anymore. And he retires, and in 2 months, he's dead from a heart attack because he doesn't know what to do with himself. He dreamed he would retire and go golf in Scotland. Wow, what a way. He'd golf and fish in Scotland. No, I mean, it sounds interesting. Could you believe how my life is so weird that I don't even know if I could tell. I was offered a vacation now twice this summer. And they're really amazing vacations. One is like fishing on a river and hiking in Oregon. I said, I'd rather take a gas pipe. No, thank you. I'm not going. The thought of sitting around a black river in Oregon and going fishing, I swear to God, just turn this carbon monoxide machine on. No, I'm just being facetious. The next was a yacht trip somewhere. I gagged on the thought of it. I don't want to go anywhere. I don't want to go anywhere. I've gone. I've gone. Gone already. So I'd rather do this. Now we're talking about greatest loss, so give me a minute here. I don't mean to open up my heart and soul too much, but I'm going to tell you a story, because maybe you have a child, and you should look at your child a little more carefully, because I'll tell you this. Children feel loneliness, and they won't tell you about it. I don't know what it is. Children usually will not open up to you about their loneliness. For some reason, so first of all, parents, they don't trust parents. That's A. Kids, the age difference, they figure you're an enemy. All you are is a stop sign to your teenager. You're just a stop sign. You're not their best friend. Forget about it. I love the women who try to dress down and be with their daughters. It really is kind of pathetic. You don't know which one is the daughter, which is the mother. That's something to look at. I see them in the mall holding hands or hugging. I don't know if they're lesbian lovers or a mother and a daughter anymore. I can't tell. I look away. I don't know whether I'm supposed to. It's a daughter and a mother and a daughter. I figured, okay, I can look at them. That's nice. Look, a mother and daughter. Then I don't know. Oop. Could be something else. I don't want to look. They're liable to call a social engineer on me. So teenagers generally do not tell you what their troubles are. That's a well-known fact. So I'll give you an example. I remember 11. I was at a father and son dinner at a Boy Scout dinner. As long as I live, I'll remember this day. Now, my father was not with me. He had to work 7 days a week. He was an immigrant. He had a little store, and he had to work 7 days a week to make a living. Okay? So he didn't go to the father and son dinner. Every other son had a father at the table but me. I didn't know what I was feeling. I was 11 years old. I had no idea. I remember to this day, it was somewhere in Rockaway at a hotel, Rockaway, New York, like a banquet kind of thing. And I remember leaving the banquet. I didn't even know why I was leaving. No one even asked me where I was going. And I walked out in the sand. It was the winter. And the beach was cold. And the waves were, you know, like crashing, whatever. And I was walking and walking and walking in the sand. I didn't even know why. I had no idea what I was doing. I felt lonely. I felt lost. I felt ashamed. It wasn't my father's fault. He couldn't come with me. He was an immigrant. He was trying to make a buck to keep the family alive, so he couldn't be with me. He didn't know from father and son dinners. In Russia, they had no such thing as a father and son dinner. But in America, there was a father and son dinner, which was a very good idea. So I'm walking and walking. And as I turn around, it's getting dark, I go back, and I'll never forget the scoutmaster was a very nice man. He had been looking for me. And he was like a surrogate father. He put his arm around me. He must have known what was wrong. And he became my father for that moment. He must have sensed it. And that's why the Boy Scouts, the Cub Scouts, was a wonderful organization for me at the time. But what I'm trying to say to you is I didn't know what I was feeling. Kids don't even know what they're feeling. Do you understand that? That children don't know what they really feel? You have to help them understand what they feel. You have to be so many things to be a good parent. Now, fortunately for me, I was a very emotional kid, and I'm still a very emotional man, and I'm very lucky as a result. I never buried my emotions. I mean, I feel very, very much as strongly as I did when I was a kid. I just know how to control the feelings a lot more, but I still feel. I never turned it off. I don't want to turn my emotions off. What's it going to turn me into, a better person? Now, maybe that's what gives me the ability to empathize with strangers on the radio. I don't know. I know you know that the reason you like me is that you, what do you have of me? You don't see my legs. You don't see my hair. You don't see my lipstick. I don't have lights flashing with a breaking news every 2 seconds to keep you listening. I'm not as pretty as the women on Fox News. I don't have as nice a suit on. So I have nothing visual for you. Think about this, the magic of this. All I am is a man inside a dark room alone with a microphone, and everything I project to you comes through the electronic medium. It's all in my voice. And yet through this voice that I've been given by God, I've been blessed to reach millions of people a week. Why? To entertain you, perhaps. To help you through dark moments, perhaps. To inform you, perhaps. Well, it's all of the above. And so today I've taken a different fork in the road. And I've gone down the sort of emotional pain you've ever experienced road. Don't know why I did it. Don't know why. Because we helped Joe this week. And I guess that was such a change for me to be able to do something positive instead of being so negative. The world is so negative. I wanted to do something positive. 855-407-282 is the phone number, but don't call it because you can't get through. Again, once again, the lines are, you know, very, very heavily busy. Let's take some calls. Should we do that? Sure. Let's take some calls. Let's go to WBAP in Dallas. Fred, go ahead, please, tell your sad story on the Savage Nation.
Yes, sir, Dr. Savage. The greatest emotional pain I've ever had was the death of my oldest son in a car accident.
Oh, that's a killer.
It happened between Thanksgiving and Christmas in 2005, and my three children had been to our house for Thanksgiving and for the weekend, and 2 weeks later, I get a call in the morning telling me that my son had been killed, and he died on the scene. I didn't get to see him in the hospital or nothing. It was just like that. It was gone. And it's tough.
Well, look, it's been said that the greatest loss anyone can feel is the loss of a child.
And children are supposed to be your legacy, not be gone before, you know.
Well, but look, Fred, on a positive note, you have other children, I hope?
I have two others, yes.
Yes, but I understand it's still not going to compensate for this whole.
It took a year for me to get past the mention of it didn't just devastate me, you know. I went through a counseling program at a church dealing with faith and loss, and it helped a lot. And I think if you don't have faith, you really are missing out.
Of course, you turn to drugs, alcohol, whoremongering, whatever. Well, Fred, thank God you have your Christian faith to keep you going.
And it does. It helps a lot. I mean,
and that should not be, it should not be, let us say, you know, just thrown away, I'm saying, like as a word. More and more people who call this show with problems tell me that it was their faith that got them through and gets them through every day. And this is something that the humanist liberal establishment likes to make believe doesn't exist and doesn't really matter. But we all know how important it is to most Americans. Certainly we have the most, let me put it to you this way. You know, they say that the president is the leader of the nation in some ways. This man is the most atheistic, anti-Christian, anti-religious president I've ever seen. Imaginable. I can't imagine. In fact, today, Alan West, who I respect enormously, said that it's clear to him, and he's a true combat veteran. He said it's clear to him by Obama's policies that he is an Islamist. Think about that. That's coming from Alan West. I'll be back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. The world is a mess, just a mess. The Islamo-fascists in Iraq right now have seized hundreds of millions of dollars worth of American tanks, armored personnel carriers, howitzers. They even have shoulder-launched surface-to-air missiles. They become a fundamental army with our weaponry. And now they're threatening to attack in America and Europe. And what are we doing about it? What are we doing? The CIA and the FBI are probably concerned about returning U.S. military veterans or Americans who practice on a gun range. They are still reading their books on never saying the Muslim word or the Islamic word. They're still looking at dangerous enemies in America who go to church or protest against abortion. Yes, that's the America that I live in. That's the America I live in, and you wonder what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, only God knows what's going to happen tomorrow. And I was reading, well, I don't know if I want to read the Bible right now. It's so late in the day, I have almost no time. But it was about a healing that was done by a rabbi by the name of Jesus. And then there was another one where the scribes and Pharisees saw Jesus eating with the tax collectors and sinners. And they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? So when Jesus heard that, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. He said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. See, that's what it's all about. And then it's this thing about healing. And he says, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And they kept silent because a man came in with a withered hand. And they wondered whether he would heal that man on a Sabbath so they could accuse him of violating the Sabbath. So they asked, he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And no one said anything. And then when he had looked around at them and with anger and were grieved by the hardness of their hearts, he said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored as whole as the other. So then his enemies, the Pharisees, went out and immediately plotted with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. This is exactly what's going on in our society today. Anyone who has a touch of the spark of goodness in them is vilified by the minions on the left, who are now doing opposition research on anyone who wants to do good. Thousands of vile individuals are funded by the George Soros front groups to create information that is false about anybody who wants to put out the word that is good. That's the country we live in. That's the world we live in. While we're surrounded by the most vile enemies since Hitler's time, the psychotics on the left are focused only on the opposition in America. Why? Because the community organizer who is running America, who is the worst president in history, only knows how to attack his domestic opponents. That's his stock in trade. God bless America. Thanks for listening. Another big hour across America. Thank you. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage. Warning, the Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, Michael Savage.
Oh, welcome to The Savage Nation, hour number three. As the world is burning and the president is dancing the night away, we are talking about the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced and why. Why? Because America is very ill right now. It's sick. It's crying. It's hurting. And is it related to the political situation, or is the political situation an expression of what the people are feeling on a more national scale, as expressed in politics? I don't have an answer to that. But I do know that just talking politics day and night can get everyone crazy and frustrated. And so we'll do it this way today, because I'm not going to talk about Ferguson and Schmergeson and Wergeson and everyday feed into that. I'm sick of it already. Okay, you know the whole story. They show a picture of the poor guy who was shot, Michael Brown, like he was 11 years old. Then you see the picture of him beating up an Indian in a convenience store who called the police. That didn't make it to the MSNBC yet. Here's good news. Navy reverses ban on Bibles. Real? Oh, that's so nice of them. A Navy spokesman confirms that Bibles will be returned to base lodges. And now they're going to launch an investigation to find out why God's word was thrown out of guest rooms in the first place. Really, I wonder who did it. The Freedom From Religion Foundation filed a complaint. I'll tell you what I would do with the Freedom From Religion Foundation. I would put them on the front lines in the fight against ISIS. I would find out who's the head of it. I know who the head of it is. I know exactly what his name is. I would go to the Freedom From Religion Foundation and I'd say, you know what, why don't you go where they're practicing atheism right now, which is in the deserts. And as ISIS comes to convert you or kill you, see who you pray to. See if you pray to your atheistic nothing or to God or to the U.S. military to save you. Unbelievable to me. You look at the graveyards in Europe, going back to World War II. I'm sorry to go back. And you look at the graveyards, you see the Sea of Crosses. Well, you look at the graveyards today, the military cemeteries, the Sea of Crosses, and how we let one foul, sick, psychotic individual who runs an atheist group hoodwink an entire nation is beyond me. How could they let this sick man who has a vendetta against Christianity get away with this? How? How could one psychotic man who hates Christians get away with such devastation? How could a few atheist slime, degenerates at that, get away with tearing down crosses across America? How? Because you Christians are asleep. That's why your world is falling apart. That's why ISIS is on the rise. Because you Christians went to sleep. Because you let the churches put you to sleep. Because you took too literally the messages that these fallen priests were giving you. Oh, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. Let them run all over you. That's a misinterpretation of your own religion. That's not the only message of Christianity. Christianity is a vigorous religion. Christianity can be a militant religion if it has to be. Where are the preachers to save us now that we need them? Oh, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. That's the whole message. When the enemy comes to get you, turn over and ask him if he won't do it so badly this time. That's the message of a church. It's a message of suicide. Why do you think I'm talking about suicide and getting you into my web this week? The suicide of one comedian got the whole net. Oh, a comedian commits suicide. Well, here's a nation committing suicide right in front of your eyes. Committing Harry Caray in front of your eyes. This is all the while the Islamofascists are raging across the Middle East because of Obama's policies. That didn't happen by accident. How did they seize all of this American weaponry? Because Obama pulled the troops out. He didn't leave a force behind to protect the equipment. He was busy planning his next fundraising trip or how to destroy the Republican Party. He, what, me worry? I didn't do it. I had nothing to do with it. Nixon did it. Where do you think they got the armored personnel carriers and the tanks and the RPGs from? From America. How'd they get it? Because Obama pulled the troops out too precipitously. That alone is impeachable. You say, oh, you can't impeach him. Why not? Why, it'll backfire? That is an impeachable offense. Oh, the commander-in-chief made a decision that was a disaster, and that's not an impeachable offense. What is then? What does he have to do for it to rise to the level of being an impeachable offense? What has to happen? Tell me. What must he do next? You don't have an answer for that, because you haven't yet turned to ABC to find the answer yet. Or Todd, whatever, that they just hired. The beard, the guy with the beard now, he's going to save NBC. Because he looks intellectual, because he has a goatee. All right, I've had my fun. What's the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced is the question. Georgia Shep, on the Savage Nation, go ahead, please. What's your pain?
Can you hear me, Michael?
Yeah, we're fine. Go ahead.
Okay, my dog died about 6 months ago, and he was the best damn companion I ever had, and I miss him every day.
Now, is that the greatest pain you've ever had in your life?
Yes, sir. I'm ashamed to say it. I miss him more than my mother dying or my husband divorcing me.
Wow. It's not the first I heard that, by the way. Don't feel ashamed of it. I heard people say the same thing to me, that they lost their pet. They felt more pain than they did by losing a person. I've heard that.
I look in the door for his face, and he's not there.
Well, look, how long has it been now?
About 6 months. I miss him so much.
Shep, what kind of dog was he?
He was a shepherd chow, and he was like God in the flesh in a dog.
Well, listen to me. He's not the only dog that could comfort you. You say, no, I can't replace him. It feels that way. But I got to tell you something. When I lost, I forget her name. I'm sorry to tell you. Snowy. I had a dog before Teddy. I have Teddy 11 years. Snowy was my whole, you know, joy. She, you know, dogs bring a joy in a house where there's no joy. They bring the joy in. They bring kindness. They bring love. They bring warmth. We all know that. That's why they're so popular in America. When Snowy died, when I laid down on the grass next to her in her last moments and the light went out of her eye, I said, I'm never getting another dog. I can't take it. I cannot ever go through this again. I can't go through another 10 years, 11 years, 12 years, 13 years, seeing it from a little lassie to a dying little corpse laying on the ground. I will not do it again. And along came Teddy, a little poodle, 10 pounds, and he's changed my life. And it's been 11 years, Shep. You can get another dog. I guarantee you. You give it some time, you'll fall in love again.
God, I said, God, if you were really out there, you can join me together someday in heaven with my dog.
Shep, listen to me. Go to the pound tomorrow. There are dogs that are about to be terminated because no one knows what to do with them. And pick one that breaks your heart, that pulls you in. I guarantee you, Shep, listen, you're not listening to me. Do it for me. Go and pick a dog out of a pound, out of a shelter. Go rescue a dog. And you get back to me in 2 months and tell me you don't feel better. That's all I can tell you. There's plenty of dogs out there looking for someone as loving as you. I mean, look, this is a tough show right now. You didn't think a woman would cry. It's a, maybe it's funny to people. It isn't. Pain is pain. You say, oh, it's only a dog. Well, it's only a dog to you. It's not your dog. When people are alone and they have an animal that they go to sleep with and they get up with and they shower, it's in the shower. They go to the bathroom, it sits by the toilet. It walks out, you walk out of the house, it looks at you. You go shopping, it wants to go shopping. You never saw anything like, unless you're a dog lover, you don't know what it's like. They don't leave you for a second. They're the most loyal things on earth. And I can't understand why Muslims hate them. I don't put that together. I can't understand that. How could such a loving religion, how could such a loving religion hate dogs? I don't understand it. Obama told me it's the religion of peace and a religion teaching love. I don't understand why they hate dogs. I don't quite get it. I guess I haven't studied it carefully enough. 855-472-82 is the phone number. Let's go to WABC. Cy, welcome. Tell us what it is on your mind tonight, please.
Yeah, it's a pleasure talking to you. You know, it's Beshech that this woman would talk about a dog. I was married to my wife for 57 years, and she passed away about 3 years ago. And she had a dog, a little Yorkie, called Maccabee. And I haven't got over the passing of my wife, but this Mac is my anchor. It's unbelievable. It's
you still have your wife's dog?
Oh, yeah. And he's become so attached to me, and I've become so attached to him.
Sai, how old is the dog?
He's about 3.5 years old.
Oh, good. Then he's young. You got plenty of, the little ones live longer than the big ones. You know that.
He's like my anchor. And my wife, we were childhood sweethearts. Oh. We were married for 57 years, and I live in a big mansion, just me and my dog, and what can I tell you?
I hear what you're saying. Oh, because the dog has a lot of her in him. That's what you see.
Yeah. He sleeps with me in the bed. He sits in
Welcome to the club.
You know, it's people don't understand.
No, you can't explain this to people. They think you're crazy. They think you're crazy if you tell them that. They think you're nuts.
Whatever I eat, he don't eat dog food. I do.
Wait a minute, Sai. Let's stop right there. I almost killed my last dog with that. Everything I ate, she ate. She gained 30 pounds from it. You can't do that.
Well, no. I mean, I feed him chicken. Yes. He has his...
You get the kibble and you mix in some chicken, no skin, and some carrots, and I guarantee you the thing will be chirping along for 10 more years.
Loves mushrooms.
Really?
He loves when I give him steak.
I heard about this, that there are dogs that have peculiar tastes in the vegetable kingdom.
Well, no, it's you know, if you don't give him, if you give him the wrong stuff, yeah, like I don't give him corn, I don't give him hot dogs, I don't give him beans, but any of the...
When you go on a car ride, can you say, what's your dog's name?
Maccabee.
So you say Mac, you want to go on a car ride, does he go with you?
We live right near the beach. I says, come on, Mac, we're going down to the beach. He'll run.
And they know everything you say to them. The vocabulary of a dog is far greater in number of words than that of the average rap star. Did you know that?
I know in the back of my house I have
150 words. A dog has a vocabulary capability of 150 words. And if you think of a rap artist, they can conjugate the F word about 30 different ways and about three other words 20 different ways. They know about 12 words. I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. The Islamo-fascists in Iraq that CNN refers to as extremists, thank you, Wolf Blitzer, may there be a special place in hell for you and CNN for what you're doing to this world. Extremist fighters swept into a Yazidi village on Friday, killing 80 men and taking 100 women captive. The extremists have apparently no religion, although they are fighters with the Islamic State. We're not to put two and two together, that there's a relationship between what they're doing and the book that they read on a daily basis. The book tells them to either kill or convert them, but we can't say that because it may offend Hillary Clinton. It may offend John Brennan. Now, so we have them with American weapons. We know that there's lots of them. We know where they are. We still have the capability of taking them out, but we do nothing. Instead, Obama turns all of his angst towards the Republican Party and those who oppose illegal amnesty for illegal aliens. Anyone who opposes a Democrat is a greater threat to the vermin on the left than are the members of the Islamo-fascist ISIS organization. That's because of the fact that liberalism is a mental disorder. That's the whole thing to remember. Liberalism is a mental disorder. But in this case, it's becoming a very seriously dangerous mental disorder. Because if your sorter is off, as any acupuncturist will tell you, everything that you decide is wrong. So you have the equivalent of Nazis without armbands, without a swastika, not speaking German and not marching to the Horst Wessel song out there. Instead, they're marching to another drummer, reading a different book than Mein Kampf, and speaking a different language than German. And the vermin on the left is still waiting for the Nazis to come back in the form of the Tea Party. This is called insanity. This is what liberalism is. It's insanity. So you say, well, why are you then talking about what is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced? Because that's giving me emotional pain. My emotional pain comes from the fact that the government, the press, academia consist of mentally ill people who are still on their steamroller agendas while the world is burning, while we're all, as Americans, facing a common enemy. They don't even know it. They don't even know what their enemy is. They're that confused. So that's why we're talking about all these other topics on the program today. Do you understand? It's a pretty difficult thing to do. I mean, you want me to talk about something else? I can do that if you wish. WJR, Detroit, Dan, go ahead, please. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thanks for taking my call, Dr. Savage. I guess what's getting to me is my mother died of cancer 20 years ago, and she was part of that generation, and a lot of her friends and my dad, and they were part of that greatest generation that went and fought in World War II, and they went through the Depression, and they were built from a different kind of a mold. They had a different mindset.
But, Dan, so, I don't mean to disagree with you, but we have the greatest generation now. They were fighting in Iraq. Many of them died in Iraq. They're fighting in Afghanistan. They're stuck on mountaintops right now, being basically dismissed by our president and our defense secretary. We still have men just like that in our military, Dan. They haven't gone away. I have to disagree with you. I accept your pain and your adulation of your mom and your dad. We still have the greatest generation. We just don't have a leader that is up to their standards. We have a leader who despises them, who spits on the military. And the only reason this so-called leader of ours went around to the veterans after the VA scandal. Oh, remember that scandal about the vets dying in veterans' hospitals that was swept under the rug? Let's see, was that before the IRS scandal or was that after it? Was that after the NSA scandal or before it? Wait a minute, was that before the guns run to Mexico that were later used to kill Americans, or was that after it? Let's see, which one of the Obama scandals have I forgotten? Well, I could count them on both hands quite readily. That would be 10. Now, the greatest scandal is yet to come. Before I come back on the air on Monday, the greatest crime against America will be committed by the dancer-in-chief.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
I was about 11 years old sitting in an empty movie theater when this song came out. I can't believe, I've always been a loner. I got to tell you, looking back, you know, I wound up where I'm supposed to be. Why was I in a movie theater alone watching Elvis Presley in Heartbreak Hotel? I wasn't crying in a napkin or anything, but wow, that's really weird for an 11-year-old kid to sit in a movie theater on a Saturday afternoon instead of playing ball or something. But there I was. You want to talk about your greatest emotional pain, and maybe I can help you with your loss. It might be more interesting and more productive. What was it? Is it? Would you rather me go back to, hey, Mike, cut out that touchy-feely crap. Go back to that politics stuff. Bash those Dems. Come on, Mike, get back. Stop that touchy-feely stuff. We're men. We can handle our... You know, I know guys who are successful, an older man, a younger man. They're very, very successful, all on their own, built businesses. Both of them are depressed, deeply depressed because of what Obama's done to America. These are men who are visionaries. They're visionaries. They built huge businesses because of their ability to be visionaries. They see doom ahead because of what Obama and his minions are doing to this country. They don't see a shiny sunny upland waiting for this country. They don't see a sunny upland of tomorrow. They see storm clouds ahead because of what this creature has done to this country and what he's continuing to do. And he's only gotten warmed up. And they don't know why he's not being stopped. That's what they all say to me. Where the hell are the Republicans? Why are they so useless and so timid? We're supposed to be a two-party system. They say, why doesn't the other party put their foot down and say, that's the end of the road. You're finished. We're doing this. We're doing that. Forget about it. You're not legalizing 30 million people like your God. Screw you. You don't have that power. No, but they're not doing it. No. John Boehner's probably picking out the drapes for his retirement condo in Jacksonville or wherever. Picking out the drapes. So they don't know what to do. So people are saying, the heck with, I can't take politics anymore. What good is it? You know, all we do is bellyache and nothing gets changed, so why should I listen to this anymore? You think I don't feel this? You think I don't feel it? That's why I'm doing it. You know, let me tell you something. That show that I did the other day where we helped that one guy, Joe, you helped him, I'm going to help him, the show itself helped him, maybe helped a lot of other people get through things. In many ways, it was a change of life for me. Because you look back on your life and say, what good did I really do? Have I done any real good? Well, maybe if we save Joe from suicide, I have saved one life and maybe you've saved that one. I don't know. You know, one life is a very important thing to save. The fireman who saves one life, the highway patrolman who goes on the Golden Gate Bridge and talks some moron off the edge from jumping, although they're fed up with them anyway. They do that for a living. Every CHP officer knows that. All of the suicide people. Maybe they have a sense of usefulness. But look at what goes on in this country. A big monstrous thug allegedly holds up a little convenience store, beats up the Indian clerk, shoves him around, steals the cigars. He calls 911. The cop goes out to arrest this guy. And according to the police, who I believe not the thug's friend in Missouri. Let me put it to you this way. I'll believe the cops before I'll believe the thug in the street. Okay? That those are my priorities. Because if I get in trouble, I don't dial 1-800-THUG. I get in trouble, I dial 911, and I hope a cop with a gun comes out to protect me. Not a thug with a gun! I don't need some gangbanger coming around with an AK to save me. So I'll believe the cops, not the thug's friend. There was a scuffle in the police car. He beat up the officer. Did you see pictures yet of the officer's face? Al Sharpton? You should be ashamed of yourself, you little worm, you. You always were a rat with from Freddy's Fashion Mart on. You should have been thrown into the clink for what you've done to this country. You and your racketeers, your civil rights racketeers. So there they are, stirring up the crowds, burning the city down. But you haven't seen a picture yet of the officer's face. that was beaten in by the poor boy. Do you see why I don't want to do politics? You see what just happened to me? Do you understand that if I had a meter on my body, a lie detector test, a set of wires on me, what would have just happened? The pressure in my chest would have read off the charts. The cranial pressure would have been near explosive force. So what I want to do for you is I need to have a good time. I'm a little tense, truthfully. If I'm going to read you something. Bear with me, if you will. I know most of my listeners are bipolar and monaural, so we're going to read this without any sound. To be or not to be, that is the question, whether 'tis nobler in the mind to suffer the slings and arrows of outrageous fortune, or to take arms against the sea of troubles, and by opposing end them, to die, to sleep no more, and by a sleep to say we end the heartache and the thousand natural shocks that flesh is heir to, 'tis a consummation devoutly to be wished, to die, to sleep perchance to dream, ah ha ha, there's the rub. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come when we have shuffled off this mortal coil must give us pause. There's the respect that makes calamity of so long life. For who would bear the whips and scorns of time, the oppressor's wrong, the proud man's contumely, the pangs of despised love, the law's delay, the insolence of office, and the spurns that patient merit of the unworthy takes, when he himself might his quietus make with a bare needle? Who would fardels bear to grunt and sweat under a weary life, but that the dread of something after death, the undiscovered country from whose born no traveler returns, puzzles the will, and makes us rather bear those ills we have than fly to others that we know not of? Thus conscience doth make cowards of us all, and thus the native hue of resolution is sicklied over with the pale cast of thought and enterprises of great pitch and moment. With this regard, their currents turn awry and lose the name of action. That's, of course, the famous Hamlet, to be or not to be, that all of us have heard at one point in our life. But it's from Hamlet, Act 3. It's an interesting one, but if you think it's just today, you're wrong. I love the line in there, would we bear the insolence of office? You hear that? How's that for the IRS? Would you bear the insolence of office? You like that one? In other words, back in Shakespeare's time, the people working for Obama, the prototypes of the Obama bureaucrats, were already driving Englishmen insane. I'll read some headlines, that's all. The placing of unaccompanied minors with possible MS-13 ties in top gang plague cities. Oh, well, of course that's what they're doing. What else would the Obama administration do would put them with their brethren and their peers? Of course you're going to bring in MS-13 minors and put them with their peers, where there are gangs of MS-13 and various other Latin American gangs. You're not going to put them in with Irish gangs. Would you put MS-13 kids from El Salvador and Guatemala, the one who's Nancy Pelosi thinks are all saints, would you put them in places where there are Irish gangs? No, because the Irish gangs are all in Congress. The Irish gangs and Italian gangs and Jewish gangs are in Congress. They're not in the streets. They have worked their way up out of the streets. Now, white tie shirt. Congressman, yes, sir. Senator, yes, sir. Mm-hmm. There was a saying that said he made his fortune the good old American way. You ever hear that one, how that worked? Franklin Delano Roosevelt, FDR. Delano is the maternal family name. Mr. Delano was a drug runner. He ran the ships out of Massachusetts that brought the opium to poison the Chinese for the English. You didn't know that he was a mule, basically a mule. Franklin Delano Roosevelt's maternal father or grandfather was a mule, a drug mule. And look what happened a few generations later. You just wash it. They say every fortune in America is red at first, then it becomes orange, then it becomes white once it's cleansed. It's a great country. I love it. It's not entirely true. Most of the people I know have made it have nothing to do with crime, zero. But it's an easy thing to say when you hate the rich, you know, and you're jealous of people. You say they're all bad, they're not as good as you. When is this thing going to end already in the Middle East? I think Obama said it's over. Can we now go home? Can we now go? Because Obama said it's over. We don't have to pay any attention to it. I'd like to forget the ISIS marching on the world. Okay, I don't want to talk about suicide. Is there no one else calling? Please. I'd rather talk about the allergic effects of dairy than talk about suicide. I'd rather talk about sinusitis and dairy products than than Sue. What's this Rand Paul, we must demilitarize police? Has Rand Paul shrunken? Has he become the amazing shrinking candidate or what? I'm not commenting on his size. I'm not a particularly tall guy, but what is wrong with him? What is wrong with Rand Paul? Why is he so irrelevant all of a sudden? He had it going for a while, and now he's become smaller and smaller by the day. You know, after yesterday's show at night, I looked at a prayer book. I don't really read them a lot. I'm not a religious person. And I said, you know, you look at people who are very religious. You know, they pray from the time they wake up until they go to sleep. They have rituals. They have prayers for the morning, prayers upon awakening, prayers for the morning, prayers for the afternoon, prayers for the evening, prayers upon retiring. And it's a roadmap for them through life. Is it a guarantee? No. But it's more of a guarantee than watching HBO movies, I mean, for example. I would guarantee you that there's more of a chance of sanity and survival following the Bible than following HBO or Showtime. And I follow HBO or Showtime. That's what I'm thinking of getting back into religion again. To be honest with you, I need another dose of religion. I was once very heavily into it. It saved me, and I walked away from God again. And I know that he's really mad at me, but I'm a little worried. I'm a little worried because if another Mistral hits that area, I don't know what's liable to happen. Did you hear about the Mistral? I don't want to go into it. The Mistral are the winds, the Mediterranean winds, during which time there are more road accidents and suicides. Yes, just from the change of winds because of negative ions. Would you believe this? It's true. Energy. We want to believe that we are immune. We want to believe that we are immune to the effects of wind or sunlight or the lack of sunlight or the length of a day, but we're not. We're still quite biological. And the day before Robin Williams' suicide, I had reached my limits in that area. I couldn't take the wind one more day. The Mistral that hit Western California was so awful. It was awful. And I wrote something saying, if I stay here one more day, I don't know what's going to happen to me. I have to leave this area. I can't stand it. The winds were so bad. They were bringing such evil spirits, if you want to get into psychic stuff. I felt it. I knew it. And I had to get out of there. Unfortunately, the winds hit the road. You know, I just hit a guy who was a very nice guy, and we went into that. Listen, I want to read you some of the comments that people wrote about this article on my website in WND. By the way, no one else posted it. For some reason, you know, isn't it interesting? Think about this. The radio business, the news business is so negative. It thrives on pain and suffering and anger and evil. So now Michael Savage helps caller reject suicide. You think, hey, that's a positive note. Nobody linked the article in the media. Would you think about that? Why would the media want to avoid such a positive story? What, that it gives me a modicum of acclaim? I don't need the acclaim. I don't want the acclaim. I really don't care right now. Maybe it will help you. So look what people wrote. Look at this. Michael Savage has proven that behind the tough exterior, he's got a great heart. I know I adored him for a reason. One. So someone writes, the reason why Savage would be criticized for saying what is obvious in a larger context is because we live in a narcissistic society. And which came into existence in the first place, marriage, meaning to protect children, has now become about grown-ups and the need for equality. Narcissism is also a factor in some suicides, but maybe not all. And then they go on to the movie, It's a Wonderful Life, and the angel Clarence advises Jimmy Stewart not to kill himself. I think Jimmy was going to jump off a bridge. And points out to Jimmy how his absence will hurt so many people. Jimmy decides not to kill himself, but to live and stop the selfishness of the banker. Robin Williams was not fortunate enough to have the counsel of a Clarence. He was alone. Well, that's interesting. I can't judge the next man. I really can't. And I want to just say this. Savage is right in not being a slave to the absurdities of this era and speaking his mind. You know, that's the truth. I'm a free spirit. I'm an unorthodox free spirit, and what I say is what I believe. And I don't understand why anybody would take that as offense. It is an act of aggression. It does hurt those around you. What more do you need to know? What is that, not self-evident? I'll be right back.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by SwissAmerica.com, the only company I, Michael Savage, trust to buy my gold and silver from, SwissAmerica.com. It is the Savage Nation, and we're talking about politics, we're talking about emotional loss, and I've asked you what's the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced, and we're getting tremendously interesting callers. Here's a little politics mixed in. You may remember this story. It was a minor quick flash across the universe of politics. There was a so-called feminist studies professor at the so-called University of California, Santa Barbara, who attacked a teenager spreading a pro-life message. Teenager was marching against abortion, and the professor, so-called, attacked her, beat up the girl, ripped her sign down. Now, of course, today a professor has very little meaning unless it's in a real science. Today they have departments of that you can't even believe. Take a guess what her defense is. You're not going to believe it. It was her legacy of slavery that made her attack the pro-choice person. Supporters of Mirelle Miller Young, the porno professor, cite the, quote, cultural legacy of slavery to explain why the feminist studies professor at UC Santa Barbara attacked a teenager spreading a pro-life message on campus. See, it was slavery, even though she was never a slave. But she is an associate professor in pornography and sex work. And so her defense is that it's the legacy of slavery that had her lash out at the woman who was marching against the abortion. And she's got lawyers now with the Friends Service Committee on her side, too. They're already involved. Now she appears smiling in front of the crowd, and one of her defenders says, if she appears to be smiling, she is wearing the mask. That is, she is hiding her actual state through a strategy of self-presentation that is a cultural legacy of slavery. This is what goes on in your universities today. This is why the children are brainwashed. This is why we have Obama as a president. And that's why I'm saying there's only so much any of you can take of this. That's what is the greatest emotional pain you've ever experienced? There's a topic I can deal with. I can't deal with the lies coming out of the universities or out of the media anymore. I cannot. And by the way, talking to the media, I told you the Robin Williams story this week and all of that. Well, let me give you a little follow-up. The wonderful individuals in the media who flooded the street that Robin Williams lived on and died on were so vile that one of them drove over a transmitter box on a sidewalk and crushed phone service to the entire neighborhood now for 3 days. Oh, yeah, the truck crushed a transmitter box. People don't have phones in the neighborhood. That's an example of your friends in the media.
Savage.